Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here today. Today, we're continuing on, of course, with our forgiveness series. We're getting ready to wrap that up. Next couple weeks, we'll be done. But today, we're looking at part two of learning the process of forgiving and forgetting. Sometimes that forgetting part is kind of tough. Can be kind of hard. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians 3, verses 10 through 14. We'll be reading those here in a few moments. Today I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, just to kind of let you know that. But last week in our forgiveness series, we began the process of learning to forgive. Our scripture reference, anybody remember where it came from last week? 1 Corinthians 13, especially verse 5, and talking about keeping no record of wrongs, which sometimes is tough for us to do. Sometimes we, even if we don't mean to, we remember how somebody has done something, or it stirs up feelings within us. We talked about how as if we were forgiving or doing anything just because God said not to. If we're following God just because it's the rules, which is good, but if we're doing it just because, if we haven't really truly given Him our heart or our devotion, we're missing out on so many blessings. We're still obeying, but if we're only doing it just because, we're missing out on so many blessings that we could have. And there is a change that takes place within us when we truly come to Christ. A change, it's sometimes a process of working it out. But Jesus said to John 3, we must be born again. In other words, having that a new attitude, letting Him change us. Meaning not just coming to ask for forgiveness, but allowing Christ through His Holy Spirit living within us, to work within us, to change us. And one of those changes deals with our relationship with others. In particular, for us, the last few weeks we've been talking about forgiveness. Because sometimes it's tough. A lot of times it's tough. A lot of times we want to, we just don't know how to. Or sometimes we're dealing with that strife within us. I want to because God told me to, and we're still, okay, but what about if they do this or whatever? And last week we looked at keeping a record of wrongs is dangerous. Now, this isn't on your sheets. This is from last week, just kind of a little review. We talked about how keeping a record of wrongs is dangerous. We talked about if we remember everything Karen did to me, now I'm picking on you today, Karen, so, okay, how it makes us bitter. It can make us, you know, just mad all the time, and it makes us bitter. We saw how Satan comes after us and tempts us to keep a record of what people have done to us. So that He can make us bitter. He can make us angry. We looked at throwing away the record of wrongs book, to just simply get rid of it. And one of the things we talk about in getting rid of it is watching how much we talk about it. In other words, we said to even quit talking about it. We talk about how the tongue, how the mouth, the things we say, how it hurts people. That the more and more we talk about it, if we're bringing it out, even, remember I talked about how even at times when we're playing out that little I'll get you back scenario, even though we don't actually do it, but Sheila, I'm going to get back at you for doing that to me today. And I'm playing it out in my own mind, how that affects us. And the things that we say, and that we need to just simply get rid of that record of wrongs books. We talked about how to refuse to keep a record of our rights. In other words, to quit comparing ourselves on the things that we may have done right against somebody else who's done something wrong. Or go around saying, well, I did this. I did that. Where's Craig? Did he leave? Oh, that little stinker. I was showing him a walk earlier I was going to do. But anyway. But how we always, you know, and I shouldn't say always, but how oftentimes we look at somebody, well, at least I didn't do what you did. Okay? And how we need to stop that. And we talk about love not only refuses to keep a record of wrong, but refuses to simply brag about the things that we have done right. And today we're coming to part two of learning the process of forgiving and forgetting. And we're talking about something that we often struggle with. We've been talking about forgiving others, but today we're talking about something that a little bit closer to our hearts. I shouldn't say closer to our hearts, but more dealing with us. So if you would, please stand with me as we read Philippians 3, verses 10 through 14. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, again, we do praise you and thank you for bringing us together today as a church family to sing songs to you, to praise you, to reflect on the blessings you give us, and to know that we can take our concerns to you and to put them into your hands, and that you have us wrapped up in your loving arms. We thank you for your message today. We ask you once again to open our eyes, open our ears, and especially touch and open our hearts so we truly hear what you are telling us today. We pray this together. Amen. Forgiving ourselves. Forgiving ourselves. Sometimes, oftentimes, can be tough, difficult. Forgiving oneself means to experience the love that keeps no record of our wrongs. Now, you don't have to answer this out loud. You don't have to raise a hand or anything. But how many times have we taken at different times in our life, whether we woke up on a certain day or we were doing yard work or whatever, and just somehow, some way, a memory popped into our minds? Something that we've done. Now, everybody just all of a sudden thought of something, right? Thanks a lot, Pastor B. This love about choosing not to hold things against us, against ourselves, can, as I said, the least be tough. The part of crossing over to understanding that Christ has truly forgiven us so we can forgive ourselves. I mean, how many times have we said something like, I can forgive others, but I just find it hard to forgive myself. Or I know Jesus has forgiven me, but I still remember this when I did this. And I won't forgive myself, or I can't forgive myself, or I haven't forgiven myself. Forgiving others, as we've talked about, is a daily process. It's something that we learn how to do through the Holy Spirit working within us. And the same is true in learning to forgive ourselves. As I said, we've all had those moments when we remembered something. There have been many times that I wish I could somehow turn back the clock and go back and change something. Not something that I enjoyed or something like that, or relive something, but something that I had done. If I could just go back and change that one little thing that I did, I wonder what it would be like. Even if we have come to Christ and made him Lord and Savior, we still have times of those feelings of feeling guilt. And that is something our enemy, Satan, loves to move in on and take advantage of. He loves it when we start looking at ourselves and things that we've done and beating ourselves up over the past. That is why forgiving ourselves is so important. Just as important as forgiving someone else for what they've done. Because our enemy will move in and try to tear us up with it. Forgiving yourself may bring about the breakthrough that you've been looking for. It could set you free in ways that you've never experienced. In Genesis, we have that story of when God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? Not the event itself. I don't think you were there. But reading about it. Okay? We remember the story. Okay, God had been talking with Abraham before that, and Abraham negotiated down to the 10 people. You know, if there was at least 10 people, God wouldn't destroy the city. And God couldn't even find 10 people that were righteous, so God's going to go ahead and destroy it. But he's getting Lot and his family out of there first. And they're on their way out, and they're all told one specific instruction. Not to do something. Don't look back. And what does Lot's wife do? She looks back. Why? Well, there's probably a couple different reasons we could think of, but whatever reason, what she is doing is looking back on the past. Some say, well, she just wanted to see, you know, what was taking place and everything. She knew what was happening. But she was looking back at the past. Well, I had it good there. I remember so-and-so, my friends there. I remember this. I remember doing this. And when we take and look back on our past and beat ourselves up over it, that's exactly what Satan wants. To look back, and even if it's something we like, I mean, there's a lot of things we can learn from our past. Don't get me wrong. But when we look back at it and say, there's just no way I could forgive myself for that, Satan loves that. And when we look back, there's one thing we cannot do. We cannot move forward in our relationship with Christ. If we are letting the things of the past hold us down, bring us down, beat ourselves up over it, we can't move forward in our relationship with Christ, because our relationship with Christ is about His forgiveness. When we constantly remind ourselves of the past and beat ourselves up over it, we're like Lot's wife. We are dwelling on the past and wishing we could go back and change something. You know what? We don't have a time machine. We don't have a DeLorean to go back in time in. But we can take and learn the process to forgive ourselves. When we look back on the past, it hurts us. No, we're probably not going to turn into a pillar of salt. But we are going to damage our relationship if that's what we are constantly doing with Christ. We'll damage that relationship. Jesus knows that many people have this problem of looking back and wishing they could go back and just change something. Now, I understand that sometimes there's a difference between looking back and what would have been if I would have changed this or if I didn't do this. But sometimes we can let it bring us so down and just where our heart actually aches, because we simply haven't forgiven ourselves. After Jesus' resurrection, the disciples had gathered in a room. They were hiding. Why were they hiding? They were fearful. That's one of the reasons. They were scared about what would happen if the religious leaders came after them and convinced Pilate to have them put on a cross and everything too. But they were also experiencing feelings of guilt. What had the disciples done when the majority of the disciples done when Jesus was arrested? They fled. Those that stayed, remember, there's a couple that stayed around. What did Peter do? Denied even knowing Jesus. Judas, of course, betrayed, but he'd killed himself. But and everybody else kind of just, you know, fled. Didn't stick around. Many remember what Peter had said, I'll go to the death with you. Thomas had made that comment even before they went to Jerusalem. Let's go to Jerusalem and die with him. And then when the going got tough, they deserted him, most of them. But when they're in that room and they're scared about what could happen and they're feeling that guilt of what did happen, what actually happens? Jesus appears. Doors are locked, windows are closed, locked and everything. And Jesus appears to them. And do you remember what Jesus told them? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. In other words, the sin that they had committed by deserting him, Jesus was saying, you're forgiven. I'm at peace with it. You can be at peace with it. And it hasn't changed my calling on your life. Remember, he told them that they were going to be going to the world and spreading the gospel. And he's telling them there in those so many words, as the Father sent me, I also send you. You still have this calling. Jesus not only wanted them to know he was with them, that he had forgiven them, even Peter, after what he had done, he wanted them to forgive themselves. He wanted them to experience that peace of knowing that Jesus had forgiven them, but that also they could forgive themselves for what had happened. This gave them dignity. It showed them that nothing had occurred that would change Jesus' plans or his love for them. I believe that one of the reasons Peter was so effective on the day of Pentecost, thousands came to know Jesus as Savior that day. I think one of the reasons that Peter was so strong in his message that day was the fact that he truly understood what it meant for Jesus to forgive him. And the peace that Jesus had given him by reinstating him and blessing him and knowing that he wanted to share that with others. To know that because Jesus had forgiven him, he could also forgive himself and move on and move forward in his relationship and in the calling that Christ had for his life. Peter was bold. Before that, before Pentecost, we see Peter a lot of times being bold in the wrong way. But now we see Peter being bold in Christ. A man who had gone from denying Christ, even knowing him, even swearing he didn't know Jesus, to a man who had been forgiven by Christ and was therefore able to forgive himself and move forward and do what Christ had called him to do. He experienced the peace of Christ, not just in that Christ had forgiven him, but because Christ had forgiven him, he could forgive himself. And that's the peace that Jesus wants for us. So why do we have such a problem at times in forgiving ourselves? Why do we have such a problem at times in forgiving ourselves? One reason, anger. Anger. Go back to Genesis. It's been a while since I've told you guys that, but go back to Genesis. Remember the story of Joseph? Okay, not just the coat. Okay, that's all part of it. But what happened to Joseph? What did his brothers do to him? They sold him into slavery. What were they going to do before they even sold him into slavery? They wanted to kill him. Okay, then one brother stood up and everything. So they end up selling him into slavery. What happened to Joseph after he got to Egypt? He got sold into Potiphar's house. Okay? What happened after he was at Potiphar's house? Falsely accused of trying to attack or of attacking Potiphar's wife. What happened to him then? Thrown into prison. Now, in prison, he gets made, you know, put in charge of all the other prisoners. He meets two friends, or makes two friends, I guess you could call it. And one of them gets released, or is going to get released, and he begs him, remember me, tell Pharaoh about me. And the guy goes up to Pharaoh and tells him all about Joseph, right? No, he forgets all about Joseph. Joseph faced hardship after hardship after hardship. In the middle of those hardships, he got blessings, don't get me wrong, but he had hardship after hardship. All because his brother's jealousy. They were jealous of the relationship he had with their father. Joseph then finally, he has the dream, or Pharaoh has the dream, excuse me. He gets to interpret the dreams for Pharaoh, and they start in the process of saving people. Then one day the brothers show up. Joseph, second in charge in the nation, could have had them wiped out instantly as soon as he realized who they were. But did he do it? No. He could have let anger overtake him, but he didn't do it. Instead, he does what? He forgave his brothers. He told them, said, what you meant to do was evil, okay? But God used it for good. One of the proofs that Joseph had truly forgiven them was that he didn't want them to be angry with themselves what they had done. He's saying, what you did, God used it. God even meant for it. Not that they were off the hook, I don't mean that, or that they had done right. I don't mean it like that. But Joseph was trying to tell them, it's okay. Because God blessed. God has saved so many people, millions of people, through what you've done. And Jesus forgives us in the same exact manner in which Joseph forgave his brothers. Jesus does not want us to be angry with ourselves over our past. We can learn from it, but he doesn't want us to be angry about it. He doesn't want us to sorrow over it. Not forgiving ourselves is actually self-hatred. It is being angry with ourselves. And Jesus tells us, don't be angry with yourself. Peter felt shame for what he did, but at the same time, his pride and anger were later diminished. We see a new Peter. It is almost impossible to say which comes first. Forgiving others so that we can be able to forgive ourselves, or forgiving ourselves so that we can forgive others. But it is not complete forgiveness until we do both. We forgive those who have hurt us, and we forgive ourselves for what Christ has done, or what we've done. Excuse me about that. We can take and let the past be the past. Not forgiving ourselves is actually a subtle way of competing with Christ's atonement. God has already punished Christ for our sins. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was pierced for what? Our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. 2 Corinthians 5:17 then says, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. When we've come to Christ, all those things are done away with. Christ has chosen what? To no longer remember them. When we don't accept our own forgiveness, when we don't forgive ourselves, we are punishing ourselves, and that's something that we're not called to do. In fact, we're pronouncing a judgment on ourselves, and we've often talked about we can't pronounce a judgment on anybody else, especially their soul. We can't do the same on ourselves. We are never called to judge our soul. That's whose job? God's job. And he gives us forgiveness when we come to him. When we punish ourselves for past mistakes, sins, we actually compete with Christ at his final hours and what he did for us on the cross. Fear and not forgiving ourselves. Fear and not forgiving ourselves. Fear is another reason why we oftentimes don't forgive ourselves. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear," excuse me, "because fear involves punishment." The fear John is talking about is not fear that we get when we face the unknown, when we're going through hardships. The fear John is talking about is a fear that we have when we feel that we are going to face some kind of judgment. I remember one time when I got in trouble at school, you know, surprising, right? And I got sent to the principal's office, okay? So the kid that and I, we both got in trouble, we got to the principal's office, blah, blah, blah. No, I didn't get a spanking, even though you're allowed to do that back then, okay? And so the principal then put so much fear into me over anything he had said. The last thing he said was this, that put so much fear into me: "I'm going to call your parents and let them know what happened today." Now, I knew my dad was gone for the week because he was a truck driver at that point in time. So I knew he was going to be, so I knew I had a few days to spare. But my mom was home. Okay, so the last thing he said, you know, he said, "I'm going to call your parents." So the whole time in school, and this happened like about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, so I had to go through the whole day of school just waiting for the fact that I had to go home later. And the whole walk home, which wasn't very far because we lived right behind the school, or the school was right behind the house, however you want to look at that. So it took me like a whole 5 minutes, but I think I took the long way around the block and everything that day. I just knew that the moment I walked in, I was going to face it. Mom asked me how the day was. I thought, oh boy, here we go. I didn't say nothing. She said nothing about it, blah, blah, blah. And we actually made it to supper time. And I'm here, okay, when is this, you know, this, is she just torturing me or what is she doing? So finally, I just kind of spilled the beans and said, "This is, you know, blah, blah, blah." And the principal had never called. The next day he asked, "Did you tell your parents?" I said, "Well, I told my mom, she was the only one home." And I said, "That wasn't very funny." But the point is, the whole time I had fear over what I thought was coming. Over what I thought was coming. Romans 8:15 says, "You did not receive a spirit of slavery that makes you fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Christ, when we've come for forgiveness, is no longer going to punish us for our sins. And we don't have to punish ourselves either.